Perak Gimel Mishnah Ches. Ba'lo Eitzel Paro. So the Kohen Gadol would then go next to his par, his ox. We learn out from a pasuk in Vayikra that he had his own ox to atone for himself and for his family. Ba'ado Ba'ad Beso, for him and his household. So after he'd put on the white garments and he'd begin the service of the day, he'd come next to his ox. Uparo Hayaomid, his ox would be standing in the north of the Azara, between the Ulam, the hall, and the Mizbeach, which was near the Heichal. And the reason why they put the ox near the Heichal is because the Kohen Gadol had to, you know, carry this bowl full of blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim after he shechted the ox for the Azaos Panim, for the spritching inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Kohen Gadol had a lot of work that day, and they would always try to do what they can to shorten the labor on him. So they put the ox right by the Heichal, right? As long as it's in a place where they can still shecht it. As long as the ox is still in an area where they could shecht it, and the closest place to the heichal to shorten the distance of where you have to carry the blood of the bowl of blood after shechting the carbon into the kodesh kodashim due to spritching was right between the ulam and the mizbeach, between the hall and the mizbeach near the heichal. Hainu b'tzad tzafon shel azara, the north of the azara. So they put it there, okay? Rosho, the head of the ox, would be ladarum to the south. Upan of Lamarv, and its head was faced towards the west. Meaning, she ikma es pan of Lamarv, it would bend its face to the west, towards the Heichal. And the Gemara explains that Shlohim Ido, so what, they didn't just place his head to the west, you know, entirely, and then his back to the east. Meaning, why are you facing him, why are you putting him south, having his face turned west? Just have him face west, so his face is to the west, and his back is to the east. So the reason why they didn't do this is that they were concerned, Shema Yarbis Glolim, lest it relieve itself. And if it relieves itself over there in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a Gnai, it's scornful, that its Beis HaRei, its, you know, private part, should be facing the Mizbeach, which was to the east. So therefore, they would place this ox, you know, towards the south, Rosh HaLadarom, its head was to the south, V'achor HaLatzafon, and therefore its back was now to the north, not the east. Then they just have it bend its head towards the west, towards the Heichal. Okay? Next, V'hakohen HaGadol, the Kohen Gadol, Omid b'Mizrach, he would stand in the Mizrach, with his back to the Mizrach, L'tzad HaMizbeach, to the Mizbeach, Upanav L'marv, his face was to the west, to the Heichal, V'somech Shteyadav Alav, and he would lean his two hands on the par, on the ox, between Shtey Karnav, between his two horns, Umisvada, and he would say Vida, he would confess. The pasuk says in the Torah, Vikrav Aaron is par chatas asher lo. Aaron will bring forth his ox as a sin offering. V'chiber ba'ado va'ad beiso, he would atone for himself and for his family. And we learn that from this pasuk that the Torah is referring to kapar of words, meaning for confession. Because since he didn't shecht the animal yet, we're not talking about a kapara that has to be done through blood, through shechting it. Rather, he didn't shecht it yet. So it's a vido, it's a confession, a kapara through words. He would confess over the ox. This is what he would say. And we actually say this in Yom Kippur davening. This is what he would say in his vido, in his confession. Ana Hashem, the Kohen Gadol would say, please Hashem. Here Hashem means the name. It means the name, the Mefurash. Hashem HaMefurash, the name that they would say in the Beis HaMikdash that we don't say nowadays. So he would say the actual name of Hashem. And then he would say, Ana Hashem, please Hashem, Avisi, I have sinned, Peshati, Chatasi, these are all different versions of sin. The art school has different explanations what the difference between Avisi, Peshati, and Chatasi is. But for all practical purposes today, it means that he sinned, he's confessing his sins. Lefanecha, before you, Hashem, Ani Ubesi, me and my household, Ana Hashem, please Hashem, Kaprana, atone please, Lavonos, V'la'pasham, v'la'chatam, for the avonos, the pasham, the chatam, different types of sins. Shavisi, that I sinned. Shepashati, that I sinned. V'shechatasi, that I sinned. Again, different types of sin. L'vanecha, before you, Hashem. Ani ubesi, me and my household. Hakasuv, b'saras Moshe, as it says in the Torah of Moshe, avdecha Moshe, your servant. Ki ve'yom azan, this day yechapar aleichem, you're going to atone for us, etc. So this was the whole confession you would say. The Kohen Gadol would say, they're bringing in the whole pasuk here. Ki b'yom hazeh yichapa leichem tar. Hashem mikol chataseichem v'nei Hashem tetaru. On this day, it will be an atonement for you to make you pure from all your sins before God and to become pure. And v'yav kan haya omer has Hashem. He would also say Hashem's name, the Shem Mefarash, kechsavah as it's written. So that's only said in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't say it nowadays. Nimtzos, it comes out that Kohen Gadol actually mentioned God's name, Hashem HaMefurash, three times in his vidoy. Vehein, and the Kohanim, and the Am, the nation that are standing in the Azara, they would kishay Yushom when they would hear the Shem HaMefurash, Hashem's name, like I'll explain later on in Parag Vav, Mishnah Beis, they would respond, on and Achav, they would respond, Baruch, Shem, Kvod Malchuso, Lalom Ve'ed, blesses the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever, and they would say it out loud. Right, because on Yom Kippur you're like a malach, and therefore you can say it out loud. They quote the pasuk. It says, "Kishem Hashem Ekra Havagodel Alokinu." When God's name is pronounced, you ascribe greatness to it. So therefore, Moshe had told Klal Yisrael that when I mention, you know, the name of Hashem, you should give greatness to it. So here, when the Kohen Gadol mentions Hashem's name at the base of Mikdash, the people on the Kohanim next to him respond with Baruch Hashem Kvod Malchuso L'Olam Ve'ed. And this past, you know, this last couple of lines in the Mishnah, if we actually say these words in the Yom Kippur service, you know, in the Machzor. So that wraps up Mishnah Ches. Mishnah Tes. Balo, the Kohen Gadol would come after he would do the vidoy on his par and his ox, the Mizrach HaAzara, to the east of the Azara, meaning he would leave Mibene Ulam from the Ulam, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, that he was saying his vidoy there, and he would go now, the Mizrach HaAzara, to the east of the Azara, connected Pesach HaAzara, opposite the entrance of the Azara, Letzafon HaMizbeach, to the north of the Mizbeach, Letzatzfoni Shal Mizbeach, to the north of the Mizbeach, Haskan, and now the Haskan was Miyaminai, the Haskan of the coin, like the vice coin that was there in case, you know, he became, something happened to him and he couldn't serve. There was a vice coin around. So he would stand to the right of him. Verosh Beis Av Mismalo, and the head of the Beis Av was to his left. So who was the head of the Beis Av? So we already mentioned that the Kohanim were divided into 24 groups, right? Every week of the year, a different group would serve in the Beis of Mikdash. And each group was divided into six Bati Ava, six like heads of families, according to the 6 days of the week. Each day of the week, a different family would serve. And then on Shabbat, they all served together, right? So now what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that the Rosh Beis Av shall also ayom halal chasmolo, that whichever family was supposed to be serving that day on Yom Kippur, so the Rosh Beis Av, the head of that family, will stand to his left. So you have the Kohen now, he's got the vice Kohen to his right, the head of whoever was supposed to be in charge of the head of the group that was supposed to be serving that day to his left. The shaman over there, where he's standing in the Mizrach, the east of the Azara, the Tzavon of Mizbeach, the north of Mizbeach, would be Shnei Seirim, these two Seir Izim, two male goats. Like the Pasuk says in the Torah, Mi'eis Adas B'nei Yisrael, from Klai Yisrael, Yikach Shnei Seirim Izim, Shnei Seir Izim Lachatas, you take these two male goats to sin offering, V'lachach HaShnei Seirim, you take the two goats, V'hemet Osam, you place them before Hashem, Pesach Ohal Moed, by the entrance of the Ohal Moed, but an Aaron, Al Shnei Seirim Gorlos, an Aaron would put cast these lots over these two goats. Gorl Echel Hashem, Gorl Echel Azazel. One lot would make the animal be brought as a carbon to Hashem, and the other one was for Azazel to be thrown off the cliff. And we're going to talk about this in greater detail very, very soon in the Mishnah. It's just a few Mishnahs away. But here is just the intro to it. So he'd be standing there, and he had these two Kohanim to the right of him and to the left of him. And then you have the two goats over there, right? And this is all by the east of the Azara to the north of the Mizbeach. The Mizrach Azara, the east of the Azara, the Tzafon HaMizbeach, the north of the Mizbeach. The Kalpi Ha'isa Shama, there was this Kalpi, there was this chest, a wooden chest, a small wooden chest, Ubash Negaralos, and inside of it were two lottery tickets, okay? Shel Eshkaroa Hayu, they were made out of Eshkaroa. Eshkaroa is a type of wood, which is called Buk. It's Targum, its translation is for Tashor, okay? Some kind of piece of wood, some kind of wood. It's a wooden chest. No, I'm sorry, the wooden chest was there already. The actual lottery tickets were made out of this type of wood called Eshkaroa. And he would use these tickets to see which one would go for Hashem as a carbon, which one would go for Azazel to be thrown off the cliff. Asan ben Gamla, and when Yehoshua ben Gamla was appointed as the Kohen Gadol, he actually made these two tickets, Shalzav, he made them out of gold. So they weren't just made out of wood, out of this Eshkaroa wood, but they were made out of gold. When Yehoshua ben Gamla came around, they used to praise him for making it out of gold. But the point was, is that they have these two tickets there. And the mission just stops here. We're gonna see later on in a couple of Mishnayos what the process was to determine which goes for what and exactly what it was that they were going for. But here's where the Mishnah concludes. And that wraps up Mishnah Tess.